Amen. It's a blessing and a privilege to have this opportunity today. We greet you in the lovely, lovely name of our Lord. He's loved us so much that he died for us. We're a blessed people, and we're here to worship our Lord. And we want to honor our pastor today and Miss D. We're a thankful people. We're thankful for y'all. You're a blessing to us, and we thank you for serving us. And as you serve the Lord, we thank you for serving us. And appreciate the word you preach. Appreciate the wife that you have. And we're just a blessed people, and we thank you so much. And we honor you today as we worship our Lord. And I count it a grand and a great privilege to be able to stand in this position. Brother William gives me a chance when he's in revival to preach on Wednesday night, and I appreciate that. I've told folks a lot of times, I don't have the preacher's itch, but I got something wrong with me. I have to preach a little every once in a while, and there's a lot of people, I know a lot of people that can preach a whole lot better than I can, but I don't know anybody that loves to preach better than I do. I don't know anybody. I love to preach. I look for occasions to preach. I'm looking for an appointment all the time. I like to preach. And in way of introduction of the sermon this morning, I don't know whether I've ever preached quite like I feel like the Lord's leading me this morning. I've been, as Brother Mickey asked me a month or so back to have this service today, this came on my heart. And I preached several times since then and tried to use this, but the Lord wouldn't let me. And so I don't know exactly how I'm going to go about it, but this is the way that I'm going to go about it. I love to preach. I just love to preach. And if there was one book in the library that I could have, it would be this book. Amen. I'd choose the Bible. I'd choose this book. If there was only one book out of this book that I could choose to read, it would be the book of John. And if there was only one chapter out of the book of John that I was appointed to read, it would be John 3. And if there was only one verse out of that chapter, out of that book, that I could read, it would be verse 16. John 3:16. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. John 3:16. And before you leave here, you may not know this verse now. Before you leave here, you probably will.
Amen.
John 3:16. There is enough information in that one verse.
Yes, amen.
To get you from here to glory.
Yes, amen.
It'll set you right down in the middle of glory. John 3:16 is the Bible in a nutshell.
Yeah.
It takes you about, my daughter goes to Whitesburg Baptist in Huntsville, and they have a Bible reading week where they have volunteers to continually read the Bible in the church. They come to the pulpit and they continually read the Bible hour after hour until they've read it through. They have volunteers to just keep on reading until they read it through. She told me that it takes from 90 to 100 hours to read the entirety of the Bible. You may not have time to read the entire Bible, but if you'll just take time to read John 3:16, It only takes a few minutes to look at that verse. And if you'll only read that verse, then you'll have enough gospel to get you out of this world into the next. John chapter 3 and verse 16. It goes something like this. It goes, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." There are, in that one verse, there are 25 words. 25 words. Right in the center of that verse, God has positioned his Son. Word number 13 is Son. Right in the middle of that verse. On each side, there are 12 words. 12 is man's, the number of man, twice over. 6 is the number of man. 12 is man twofold. He's got man twofold on each side of his Son. Each side, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." He placed him right in the middle of man because he wants to do something for man that man cannot do for himself. He's going to do something for us, so he positioned him right in the middle. It's unique that God did that because God has a tendency of placing his Son in the middle.
Yes.
In the middle. In the middle of your Bible. Your Bible contains 39 books.
Yes.
Contains 1,189 chapters. You read 594 chapters. And then you come to chapter Psalms 118, right in the middle of your book. Right in the middle of that book is God has positioned his Son again. In verse number 8, he said, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." Right in the middle of that, now you have another unique situation. God has placed his Son right in the middle of verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord.
Yeah.
Right in the middle, the Lord. On each side you have 6 words, the number of man.
Yeah.
Isn't that unique?
Yeah.
Isn't that something that God is so explicit with his Son that he positions him right in the middle. Right in the middle. And the Bible said in Luke chapter 23 and verse 33, "And when they were come unto the place that is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left." He positioned his Son as the sacrifice for the sins of man right in the middle. In the middle, his Son has appeared. And I'm going to tell you, every successful life is going to place that Son in the middle of it. Every successful family is going to have that Son right in the middle of it. Every successful marriage will position him in the middle. Jesus must be in the middle. He's the man in the middle. He's the man of my dreams. He's the man of my life. He's the crucified one. He's the one that died that I could live. Hallelujah to the Lamb this morning. Thank God for the man in the middle. That's the introduction. Now then, let's look at John 3:16. Let's look at that unique little verse for just a minute. That little verse tells us something.
Yes.
It says, for God so loved. The Bible said in 1 John 4:16 that God is love.
Amen.
This verse tells us not only that God is love, but it tells us God's in love.
Amen.
The lover has fell in love.
Amen.
The lover has fell in love.
Right.
Says for God. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
The preacher preached a couple of weeks ago on God.
Yeah.
Just God. You know who I'm talking about, don't you? I'm talking about God.
Amen.
He said, for God. For God.
Yeah.
The Bible said in the very first verse of the first chapter in your Bible, in the beginning, God. There he is. In the very first verse, in the very first chapter, he introduces himself as God. And it said that God created. God created the heavens and the earth. What a God he is. He's the God that you can depend upon. Our pastor used to preach to us, and I remember it. He said that this book is not a science book, but he said that anywhere that it references to science, it's so.
Amen. Yeah.
Well, let me tell you this morning that in the very first verse of the first chapter of your Bible, God gives us the scientific formula of evaluation. Scientists have a formula of scientific evaluation. And that formula consists of five things. It consists of time and force and motion and space and matter. And you got all five of them in that one verse. In the very first verse of the very first chapter of your Bible, he introduces the formula of evaluation, that you can evaluate everything that God created. He said, in the beginning, there's time. God, there's force. Created, there's motion. Space, he created the space, that's the heavenlies.
Yeah.
He created the earth, that is matter.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's amazing how God created everything.
Yeah.
But he give us that formula of evaluation, that we don't just have to say, well, you know, we can say the Bible said so.
Amen.
Oh, it's not just you know. It's God said. And if you've been sitting in on Brother Greg and them study of, and Max and them, as they've been teaching us in the book of Daniel, you've been led into that of the very mathematics of God, where that God has done everything with his kings and with his kingdoms and with years and with that. Everything's explained. It comes down to the very, very day. You don't have to say, well, you know. No, the Bible said so. Amen? For God. When you bring God into this conversation, You've ended the conversation because God just takes over.
Right. Yeah.
For God.
Mm-hmm.
It's said, for God is in love. For God so loved.
Yeah.
He so loved. He said that God has fell in love. And he went into the room of adjectives, and he tried to find an adjective that would explain how much God loved. And he couldn't find one. He extinguished all of the adjectives, and there was not a descriptive word for the amount that God loved us.
Amen.
So he just said, God so loved. God just, you know about so, don't you? You know about so. You come home one evening and you looked at your wife and you said, honey, I'm so tired. It's been such a long day, and you just couldn't find an adjective that would explain how tired you was. And you just said, I'm so tired. Or you looked at her and you said, honey, it's been a hard day and I am so hungry. You just couldn't find a word that could tell and express how tired and how hungry you are. And the writer looked at God and he said, there just ain't no way to explain how much he loved us. He just loved us so. He just so loved us. He loved us so. The extent of his love was so much.
Yeah,
man.
That's right.
He loved us so much that he wasn't going to just say, I love you. That is so easy for us to say sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Girls, let me tell you, it's so easy for that little boy to say, I love you. But you better wait till he shows you.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 You better wait till he proves that love.
Yeah.
God loved us so much that he proved it.
Yeah.
God loved the world so much that he demonstrated it.
Amen.
He demonstrated his love. I loved my wife so much that I didn't just tell her that I loved her. I committed myself to her. And I took her over to the house and I gave her a home. And I gave her fruits of my love. I demonstrated my love in taking her in and keeping her. And being faithful to her. I demonstrated my love. God demonstrated his love to us and gave his son.
Yes.
He loved us so much that he gave his son. And his son died on the cross for our sins.
Amen.
God loved us so much. He loved us so much that his intentions was that we wouldn't perish.
That's right. Amen.
He had an intent to that love.
Yes.
And the intention was that we not perish.
Yes. Amen.
Because he knew the extreme dramatic end of eternity in death.
Yes.
We often talk about in the Christian circle, we talk about eternal life as though it was just for us.
Come on, that's right.
It's not just for us. Just as long as we live in life, those without Christ will die in death.
Yes, right.
If you're here this morning, you're alive forever. Oh, you may cease to be here physically, but you'll be somewhere spiritually. Your soul is going to live to eternity.
Amen.
Whether it be in life or whether it be trying to die.
Amen.
It'll be in life or death. It's eternal.
Amen.
It's eternal. We're here to stay. Either in heaven or hell.
That's right. That's right.
God knew, and that's the reason God loved soul. He loved soul. That's the reason that he wasn't careless about it. He loved us so much that he gave his son that you wouldn't have to perish.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful this morning? Oh, that's enough to shout about. He gave his son that we wouldn't have to perish. But the intent of that love was not that we not just not perish, but he had a wonderful plan for the future, but that we would have eternal life. That is right the opposite of eternal death. That we have eternal life. That we wouldn't perish, but we would have life. And that we would have it more abundantly.
Amen.
He not only wants you to live, he wants you to live in abundance.
Right.
He wants you to live the abundant life.
Yeah.
And the abundant life is not all wrapped up in brick houses and new cars and fine clothes. It's not all wrapped up there. But I'm going to tell you, the abundant life is wrapped up in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. And the more that you know him, the more you will enjoy life. The more you will enjoy the fruition of life and the fruits of life and the joys of life. The more you learn about him, the more you introduce yourself to him, and the more you commit to him. I can't hardly get away from Brother Max's teaching this morning on our Sunday school lesson. And our lesson was on Ruth and her all-in commitment. Her commitment. Her commitment was an all-in commitment. She committed her life to Naomi's life. And her commitment to her God. I think that she must have seen something in Naomi as she saw her visiting the graveside of her husband. She must have watched Naomi as she visited the graveside of her two sons as she laid them in the grave. She saw something of the devotion of that mother and that wife. And when it come time that Naomi was to go back to Jerusalem, when it came time that she was to leave Moab and go back to Jerusalem, Ruth just couldn't bear the separation.
That's right.
And she committed herself. And I love those verses.
Amen.
But she said, I'm going to go where you go.
Yeah.
I'm going to be where you are at.
Yeah.
Your God's going to be my God.
Yeah.
I mean, she was totally sold out. But what really got me was, where you die, I want to die like you die.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
I met a man one day that I committed to that man.
Yeah.
I met a man called Jesus, and I said, Lord, I want to live where you live. Amen.
Yeah.
I want your people to be my people.
Yeah.
I like God's people, don't you?
Yeah.
Amen. I like to come to church. I like to fellowship around.
Yeah.
I love to rub shoulders with God's people.
Amen.
Amen. I like to. But I'm going to tell you something else. That, I mean, something I really like about it. I like the way God's people die.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. That's not all of it for them. That's not all of it for them. I thought as Miss D testified this morning talking about that peace, I was reminded of the greatest peace that I remember having in a long time. I had it standing in a cemetery.
Yeah.
I did. I had it standing in the cemetery, Miss D. Yeah. There was two open graves. And I was standing there with my mother and dad was in a casket side by side. And I was standing there beside those open graves. And I just prayed, Lord, I need some help.
Yeah.
And that was the greatest peace that I've ever had.
Yeah.
And it was the greatest peace I'd ever enjoyed. Yeah. I'm telling you, folks, the Lord just came on the scene and gave me peace in that moment. Oh, I'll tell you this morning, folks, I love the way Christians die. Because that's not all of it. We die in hope of the resurrection. As I stood there on that day, as I stood there and saw that Lord both those caskets down in the grave at the same time, and I watched his ever crank as they cranked that vault down into the grave. Brother William, I watched ever crank, and I said, Lord, they're going down. One day we're going to come up together.
Amen.
One day we'll come up together.
Amen.
Amen. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
You may be here this morning, and you may be slipping off into hell, but you're not going down without being loved.
Yeah, that's right.
He loved the world.
Yes.
The Bible said he loved us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us.
Amen.
If you're a sinner and going down, you're not going down unloved.
That's right.
God loves you.
Yeah.
And God wants you to be saved. God wants you to be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Have you believed? Have you trusted the Lord as your Savior? He loves you so much. So much that it cannot be explained. He loves you so much, and it breaks his heart every time he sees you walk away unsaved.
Amen.
It breaks his heart every time he sees you living a careless, useless life. It breaks his heart. God loves you so much.
Amen.
Loves you so much.
Amen.
Have you ever come to that point where that you said, Lord, Lord, I'm a sinner. I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. Have you come to that point where that you could say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Lord, can just forgive me. And I confess, Lord, that I've sinned. And I ask you, Lord, to come into my heart and to save me from my sin. Have you come to that point? If you have not done that, if you've not yet done that, let me remind you before we give this invitation this morning that God loves you. God loves you. God cares for you, and he wants you to have eternal life. Eternal life. While we stand together this morning, we're going to sing a verse of an invitational hymn, and we're going to